We've been involved the last several Sundays talking about the 40-year history of our church. What are those things that we believe have brought to us the experience of God's blessing? There are four, and we have been trying to focus our attention upon them. They're listed for you. First, there is the book. Without apology, we believe this book, the Bible, 66 books, is the inspired word of God without error, without contradiction. It is fully capable of equipping each one of us and making us followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and making us like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is the light in the darkness. It is God's mind and God's plan for us to discover, to apply, to enjoy. Secondly, the blood. Apart from the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary, there is no forgiveness of sins. And in that blood, our salvation is secure, not by our merits, not by your good works or my good works, but by his good work, by his sacrifice at the cross. The third thing, the body, our topic today. Next week, the blessed hope. Last week, however, Dan challenged us about our missions emphasis here at the church. We have been focused on missions. It's such a joy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He closed his message with a series of pictures. Here are three of them. As you look at them carefully, I want you to look in the lower right-hand corner. See that block down there? Could this be you? What we're looking for are people who will be key informants, who will contact these missionaries on a monthly basis, who will be the channel through which they can bring to us, to our prayers, to our services, the urgent needs of that ministry. We can then send back through these people word of what's happening here. I know that God is speaking to hearts, and somewhere from among us, there are those three families who will step up and say, I want to be the key informant to this missionary and be the link between that ministry there and our church here. Is that person you? See, here at Grace, we're not talking about romancing missions. We're talking about the deep, deep goo. We want to get involved in missions, not just superficially. I wore my shirt this morning. It's the most expensive shirt in my whole wardrobe. I had to go to Africa to get this shirt. This was hand-built for me. Took my measurements. I didn't pick out the material. But it's cut and custom sewn for me. It's probably a $2,000 shirt. I don't have any other shirt in my whole wardrobe that compares to that. But when I select this shirt to wear, it's because I want to embody to you a reminder that God is busy in our world. And that while the United Nations is going to fail, it's going to fail. And even the wonderful administration that we now have in Washington, even if they're reelected, there are going to be gaps in the accomplishments of that. That the European nations are coming together as predicted in prophecy, that the Middle East is being torn apart just like the prophets said. That our school systems throughout the, quote, educated part of the world have turned aside from truth, from God. Spend more time denying, resisting, and refusing the claims that God has given to us all around us and within his word. That's where education is focused today in the modern world. Away from God, full of arrogance and deceit, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, in the midst of all that, God has chosen a people. He calls those people his church. The word church means called out. It means that God is a divider of people. Let me say that again. God divides people. Those that are outside and those that are inside. Those that are inside, he calls the church, the called out ones. The book of Ephesians is magnificently put together to define and to describe the difference between those outside and those inside. Inside the grace of God. Those outside are under the wrath of God. They are ignorant of God. They are dead in trespasses and sins. They have no hope. And all the institutions and all of the philosophies and all the ideas and programs that they're doing are going to come to nothing. Nothing. Those that are insiders, those who have come through faith in Jesus Christ to experience God's grace and forgiveness, those who are insiders are called the church. Quickly turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians and look with me, please, at words that Paul writes at the very end of chapter 1. Paul is talking about how God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, seated him in heaven at the pinnacle of all power, at the right hand of God. And we read in verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 1, he put all things, God the Father, put all things under his feet, Jesus Christ, all things under his feet. He is Lord of all. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Those three words need to be linked in your mind. The church, the body, the fullness. What this marvelous epistle of Ephesians is all about is giving us the satellite view of earth as God sees it. That's what it's all about. And as God looks at our world today, he sees those that are inside his church and those that are outside. And those that are inside, he sees as his body. What a marvelous picture. I, my spirit, you cannot see. But I, my spirit, live in a body that you can see. I can touch you with my fingers. I can see you with my eye. You can hear the tone and sound of my voice. You can recognize me by my physical features. And in this physical body, my spirit has the capacity to express itself in the tangible world around me. I am a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Here's what that means. When God the Son stepped from the throne of heaven and became a man, he did so in the womb of a virgin without any human help. And when he passed through the birth canal, he came into our world robed in human flesh. He had taken a body. And in that body and through that body, the invisible, eternal God the Son touched human life. He spoke. He ate. He experienced all the things that were natural to human existence in and through his body. He was tempted at all points like us we are. He never sinned. The eternal, immeasurable, boundless God became temporal, confined, tangible here. His body was the vehicle through which he touched this world. When he touched the leper, it was with a human hand. When he lifted the bread and the cup, it was with human hands. When he went to the cross, it was a human body in which God the Son paid sacrifice for all of my sins and yours. When the grave was discovered, the body was gone. The body that he had taken through the incarnation now had been transformed. It was still a real human body, but in a resurrected state. And in that resurrected body, he went back to the Father. In the place of that human body that he had through incarnation, he has chosen to raise up through no less spectacular means, a human body in which he can dwell, through which he continues his work, by which he who is invisible becomes visible, he who is intangible becomes tangible. And that body is the corporate collection of every boy and girl, man and woman who comes by faith to him. We are his body. We have insider information that those out there do not know. We have inside advantages that those out there don't have. We are the body of Christ. Now, so often we become so focused upon the world around us, and we begin to define the church in relationship to the world around us. Sometimes we think we are responsible to produce peace where there is no peace, and we can't. Even God can't produce peace out there. Remember that. Sometimes we think we are to address and solve the problems of the world. Can't do that. Not equipped to do that. That's not our purpose. I've heard in the last 20 years language like this, that the church is the servant of the community. Baloney! What would you think if I proposed to Tricene and she said, "Yes, Jim, I'll accept that ring, I'll wear it, I'll be your betrothed, I will marry you"? What would you think if Anne said to Marion, "Hey, Marion, I want to be your wife, but you know, I'm really the property of the community. I mean, my main job is to satisfy the needs and desires of every other man in my community"? What would you think of that? That's exactly how God feels when we speak of the church as being the servant of the community. No, we're not the servant of the community. That's not our calling. We are the bride of Christ. And our first and preeminent calling is to look to him, to honor him, to be unto him what he desires us to be, even when the community around us doesn't appreciate that and may even persecute us for doing that. Do you agree with that? Say amen. Now remember that. Remember that. The number one purpose for the church is to please God. He has chosen us to be his body, his organism on earth. He has given us his spirit to dwell within us. And the text says that his ultimate purpose is that we, his body, will be the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, wait a minute. What in the world does that mean? You know, the heavens of the heavens cannot contain our God. He's bigger than the universe. He's older than time. He's stronger than all the combined physical forces you and I have any idea about. He's bigger than big. He fills all things, and everything that he created is but a small glimpse into his power, his wisdom, his majesty. How then can the church be the fullness of him? That doesn't mean that we exhaust his fullness. What it means is, we are that entity in which and through which God has desired to manifest his fullness in fuller ways than anything else he created. If I held in this hand a prism, you know what a prism is? Triangular shaped piece of glass. And held in this hand a flashlight, turned the flashlight on, and the light went into the prism, The light is invisible until it gets to the prism. And once it hits the prism, what comes out on the other side? Rainbow. That's right. Colors. What happens within the prism? The prism refracts into the various wavelengths the fuller capacity of the light. And through the prism, that which is invisible becomes visible. And that which does not strike the eye fills the eye with color. Now, that's what the church is. That's what the body of Christ is. It's the entity God has chosen where he shines into the church. His grace, his wisdom, his love, his power. And what comes out the other side are the hues of the rainbow. Magnificent glory of God. That's what the church is for. The church is preeminently an organism in which and through which God chooses to declare, to reveal, to manifest his glory, his power, his grace, his love. That's exactly what the passage says. Look at it there. Drop down in chapter 2, verse 7. It's talking about the church. And it says, verse 6, Ephesians 2, 6, God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's what that's saying. We are the exhibit. We are the thing that God created and brought into existence through which he chooses to manifest his fullness in fuller ways than any other thing in his whole creation. Incredible. Look over at chapter 3, down to verse 10. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's that saying? That's saying my neighbor may not appreciate. My neighbor may not value. But there are unseen hosts. Millions and millions of intelligent, creative beings that God has created that are not humans, that inhabit his heaven and inhabit his world. Angels, demons, and they are seeing in us the wisdom of God. That's our primary calling. That's what we're called to do now, and the text says that's what we're going to do in the ages to come. Incredible. Incredible. The church, the body of Christ, is not an earthly entity. It is a heavenly entity being put together on the earth, one member at a time. And in that membership, in the lives of those Christians, those followers of Jesus Christ, God is fusing together a body, an entity, a created organism for his purpose to declare his glory, to manifest his wisdom, to show his grace, to reveal to the curiosity and to the utter amazement of other created entities, intelligent entities, the infinite wisdom and matchless grace of God. That's your purpose. That's my purpose. That's what the body's for. Quickly, in order for us to do that, to be that, according to chapter 4, God has given gifts to every man. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 7. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then he quotes an Old Testament passage. Verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's that saying? That's saying that every person who is born again not only receives forgiveness and life, but they are gifted. You've got gifts. Every believer is individually gifted by God. There are gifts that he gives to the church for your benefit, pastor, teachers, evangelists, apostles. There are gifts he gives you so that you can be ministering. The church is not a preacher. The church is not elders. The church, those are side structures. The church is a body of gifted, called, equipped Christians. Those in whom God's Spirit dwells. And we're not all the same. Each of us are different. Why? Because we're a body. Just as the cells in my finger are different than the cells in my eye, and just as the cells in my liver are different than the cells in my toenails, but I need every part of my body. So you have a function that God wants you to perform within the body, within the body. We're not talking now about evangelization. We're talking about the body building itself up. You see, you are the ministers, not me. I'm playing coach. I'm one of you. The reason I'm up here and you're down there, it's not because I'm higher or better or more powerful or more important. If you could see it as God sees it, I'm at the bottom of the stack. My job is to teach the word, to encourage you, to counsel with you, to provide ministry opportunities for you to grow so that you will blossom and grow and blossom and grow. It's your ministry. What will Grace Brethren Church be 40 years from now? The answer to that is in your hands, not mine. And you will make it that kind of church as you grow, as you discover the gifts, the talents, the capacities, the resources God has vested in you. And as you minister those resources, and as you grow up and become mature in your faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, as those two processes take place, individual growth and body function, then the church is built up. And the healthy church can then significantly be the body of Christ. Oh. Now, don't say, well, Pastor Jim got robbed of his sermon time. Now, I'm only halfway home, but that's okay. It's all right there in that book. Go over and look at what he says in chapter 5 about being the bride of Christ. Wow! And how he is working in our lives to build us up and to purify us and to make us whole. And someday, all creation is going to come to a standstill. The trumpets are going to blare. Jesus Christ is going to stand at the altar in heaven, and the bride, the body of Christ, is going to come walking down the aisle to be joined with him in a unique and glorious ministry that will never, 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 ever die. It is incredible. We will have the most exalted place of service. We will have the closest, most intimate relationship with God through his Son. Incredible. Incredible. That's our glorious future. One other idea for you. In chapter 6, yesterday, when the Buckeyes raced out on the field and the Cincinnati Bearcats raced out on the field, could you figure out which was which? How could you do that? Uniform, yeah. Well, you want to read your uniform, read chapter 6. In the King James, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Actually, that word armor is panoply. It means your uniform. The only thing that's in there for you to use defensively is the shield of faith with which you quench the fire darts of the wicked. But the whole point of that is God has given us right now a uniform that distinguishes us and identifies us in relationship to unseen spirits of darkness and in relationship to seen men and women in our community. Read that magnificent uniform, that scarlet and gray, if you please. Read the uniform that God has prepared for us right now as his body to wear. The body of Christ. The fullness. The place where the fullness of God is most perfectly experienced and refracted and manifest in all time. In all space and all creation. Wow. That's what the church is. Our Heavenly Father, blow our minds, please. Don't let us ever get over what this book of Ephesians tells us about how you loved us and called us before the foundation of the world. How you perfected salvation for us in the work of Jesus Christ, and how right now, as members of his body, we are seated with him in heavenly places. We have access to you through prayer. The unbeliever doesn't have that. We have this marvelous uniform you've given us to wear, totally equipping us for life, for service. You've given us gifts. You've called us to glory and grace. And forever and ever and ever, it's just going to get better and better and better. I pray for that friend here today who's not part of the body of Christ. They may have been baptized as an infant. They maybe went to Sunday school. Or maybe they've never had any contact with an organized church or no knowledge whatever of your word revealed in Scripture. I pray for them that you would give them a heart hunger. May they sense that being part of the body of Christ is the most exalted privilege possible in this life. And I pray that you would woo them and draw them to turn their back upon sin, self, and Satan, and to open their heart to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Friend, if you've never done that, right now, believe that Jesus Christ is God. At the cross, he died in your place for your sins. Believe that he arose from the grave and is in the heavens and returning soon. Take that by faith. There are many, 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 many reasons to prove that that is true. Confess that you are a sinner, that you're dead. Ask God to come into your heart and life, to resurrect you from the dead, forgive you of your sins, and to place his spirit and his life within you. Do that right now. See, I don't understand all that. You don't need to understand it. When you flip the switch, you don't understand how electricity works, but the light comes on. Because that's the way electricity works. So open your heart to him. He will work it out. Invite him to come into your heart right now. And Christian friend, understand that being saved has a glorious future. That getting to heaven is not the whole shtick. That right now, God wants to do significant things in your life and through your life, through the gifts he's given you. That no one is insignificant, no one is unimportant, that this church can only be effective if each born-again believer is growing in faith and glowing, sharing, ministering, doing the things that God's gifted and equipped you to do that nobody else can do. Commit yourself to that today. Father in heaven, please make us the body of Christ, truly. Make us what you want us to be as your body. Exalt yourself in and through us. Accomplish the things that matter to you in our lives, our homes, and our world. For we are your body, I pray. Now, Lord, fill us with your Spirit, with your love, with your grace. And may your fullness flesh out itself in our lives, in our actions, we pray. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.